Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hockadoo.
Alice Nelson.
Hola.
And Tara Loomis, who we haven't talked to in a bit.
Yeah, hiya.
So, as I told these wonderful folks prior to hitting record, I'm going to be half interested because I'm completely consumed by Lynn's sanity. And I have to ask you guys, have you paid attention to all this story? I mean, have you any idea what's going on with the New York Knicks? Have you heard about this?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I just bring it up on our little entertainment podcast because I am a sucker for sports movies, and this guy's story would make a great sports movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's undrafted, great. Sent down to the D League. He was on a bus going playing in Erie like 2 weeks ago, and now he's
top of the world.
So I'll see if I can option the rights. I don't know.
There you go.
So yeah. So it's been good sports times around here. But let's get right to things. And Daryl, we'll start off with you. What's been happening? Any movies you've seen recently? I personally have not been out to theater at all. So if you have any recommendations, I am eager to hear them.
I have not been out to theater at all either. Since I last talked to you guys, I caught up with Community.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Sweet.
Which I was real happy with. I'm glad I did. I watched it's a long title. Let's see if I get it right. It's the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret.
That's right, with David Cross
yeah. And Will Arnett, which is a real. I can't say it's always really funny, but it's always a. It's pretty uncomfortable. David Cross in a British, in a British style sitcom, and he does pretty well in that. It's pretty uncomfortable sometimes. So I'd recommend it more or less.
Like, are we talking the British Office uncomfortable?
Or? Sort of on that level. The basic plot of it is that Todd Margaret's a temp, and Will Arnett is his boss, and he hears David Cross saying some kind of garbage that he likes the sound of, and so sends him to England to sell an energy drink called Thunder Muscle that's manufactured in North Korea, and he has no idea what to – he has no idea about sales at all. He's just like a copy temp. And so he lies his way through about 12 weeks of fairly quality entertainment.
Now is this on IFC?
IFC, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But more or less worth it. More or less worth it.
All right. And is it when you since you're on board the Community bandwagon, you know, how many degrees removed from the quality Community would you say this show is?
Todd Martin? 2 degrees.
2 degrees. Okay, that's helpful.
It's way better than, say, 2.5 Men.
Okay.
It doesn't take much.
But it's not right. That's maybe right. Not. But it's not Arrested Development. It's not Community. It's not. It's more David Cross doing his bit and Will Arnett doing his bit.
Okay, gotcha.
In that sort of a scenario. And if you like that, you know, it's got its moments.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
You know, this and that. But,
all right. we love your specificity on this show. All right, Alice, how about you? Anything since last week?
Yeah, actually, I know sometimes you guys do old shows with Eric, so this is going to be
old news. Yeah, I got some old news.
Old news. Yeah, this is even older news with Alice. Husband and I just started watching the first season of Justified.
Big fan.
Yeah. Heard you guys talk about it over and over and just never got around to it, so I decided I would check the local library, which I am sure they only have one copy because I was hold number 49.
Oh.
And we finally got it.
How long did it take? How long does that take? I mean, I wait forever just for a book.
Months, actually. And I kept waiting, thinking, well, I won't get it from Netflix because the library copy would be in any moment. And so finally it came in and we watched a few episodes. And I have to tell you, I enjoyed it. I saw Timothy Oliphant in The Crazies before I saw him in Justified. I enjoyed that movie quite a bit.
Yeah, he's in Deadwood, too.
Deadwood, and of course, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Live for your Die Hard. Yeah.
And I haven't seen Deadwood yet. That's also on order from the library. We should get that 2015 or so.
That's right. I wonder if, like, you ordered the complete series of Star Trek The Next Generation, and you're like, you know, number 20, how long would it take? Probably forever.
Oh, it would take forever. I don't know. It's the Idaho library system's not very good.
Or like the complete Law and Order.
It'd take me 20 years to get. But I enjoyed it very much. I enjoy a guy who shoots first and asks questions later.
Nice. That's what we like to do. Yeah.
He is pretty awesome.
Yeah, so. He is. He's definitely the cowboy. The cowboy character is fantastic. Second season was not as strong for me, but I will say the third season so far is fantastic. So, but it's all good stuff. Like, I mean, second season is still very good, but
yeah,
just a slight dip. But maybe there'll be something you like out of it. So I'm glad you're on board with Justified. It's probably my favorite show on TV right now.
Yeah. Breaking Bad and so far Justified, I really enjoy. And also, I know Eric talked about last week he saw The River and he wasn't too into it, so I, of course, had to check it out and see how bad it was. But I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I love all the Paranormal Activity movies.
Yeah, you're a found footage. Do you like the original Blair Witch Project?
I did. I enjoyed it very much. So I like all that found footage stuff, and it hasn't gotten old with me yet anyway. I even watched Blair Witch a few weeks ago.
Did you watch this? Anyone ever see the second Blair Witch movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, man. that was probably a misfire. I think that was a studio misfire. I think we'll call it that.
I've never seen it. Was it pretty bad?
It's a lot different.
Yeah. It's not a found footage movie.
No, it's not.
It's weird. I mean, it manages to make the first movie, which I didn't really like, to be honest, retroactively horrible, though. It's like some yahoos searching for the secret behind the Blair Witch, but it's just like a regular corny horror. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty interesting so far. Just one episode.
That's good. It's okay to stick up for The River.
I will. Egg nabbit.
Nice. All right, Mac, how about you?
Well, I did my solemn duty, and I went and saw episode 1 on 3D on the big screen.
Wow. And?
The movie, you've all seen it. You all have your own opinions. But I'll say the audience, though, was kind of a downer, the audience, because they were there to, like, laugh at the movie and mock it.
Oh, you
know? Oh no.
And so all these people had gone. They'd paid money for their
probably
tickets.
Probably decent money, right?
Yeah, and because, you know, they you know, add a couple of bucks on when it's 3D, you know. So, it's all audience is full of people, and they're there just to, like, laugh at episode 1.
Where were getting the biggest chuckles or parts?
But it's hard to say. I mean, like, every time anything will happen, it was just, like, loud, angry-sounding laughter. Like, wah!
Yes, derisive laughter, yes.
Yes, yeah. A lot of jokes at the battle droids doing their little Roger Roger shtick.
Gotcha.
And they really let those guys have it. And poor little Anakin, little Jake Lloyd.
He took it pretty hard, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Poor kid. So yeah, that was... And being a fan, it was kind of a downer.
How was the 3D?
The 3D was better than I was expecting, because it wasn't IMAX 3D. It was just at the multiplex.
Yeah, okay.
And I'd heard from other people saying that 3D at the multiplex is really bad, like the colors are all gray and stuff, but I didn't really have that experience. Of the six Star Wars movies, Phantom Menace is probably the one that's the brightest and has the most like vibrant colors. And that came across really nice on the 3D. So
how the pod race, was that like a highlight of the 3D? Did they do good stuff with that?
That was pretty good. I was thinking a lot of the stuff at the the thing about 3D movies is you kind of get used to the 3D after a while. So it's a little bit of a cheat for me to say the stuff at the beginning was the best, but
yeah, it's true. Mm.
But still, the ship's landing on Naboo and there's this shot where Qui-Gon, Liam Neeson, is kind of running at the camera, and the big giant ships are, like, coming behind him, knocking all the trees over. And that looked really amazing in the 3D.
So. Yeah, so let's do a quick poll here. Where does this current crew here stand on episode 1? Alice, you first. What did you think of episode 1?
When I managed to stay awake, it was okay. I didn't care for it at all. I thought that Hayden Christensen was awful, and then Sam Jackson was kind of wooden.
Episode 1, so Hayden Christensen wasn't around in episode 1.
Oh, was he?
There you go. You were nodding off. All right. Obviously made a deep impact on Alice.
It did. That's how much I paid attention.
Nice. How about you, Daryl? Where do you stand?
I could not stand it. That was my senior year of college, my junior year of college when that came out. And we'd been waiting, we've been reading about it. I, you know, big Star Wars fan growing up, obviously, and all of that. And, all of this hype, and we built ourselves all up around it, and then went to see it. And it was that kid, and it was Jar Jar Binks, and it was everything that I hated about Return of the Jedi, all thrown down into, you know, 2.5 hours. And I never was really back on board with Star Wars after that. I saw them. Yeah. I saw the other two, and I actually thought the last one was the best of the series.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But on the first one, it was one of the biggest letdowns of my whole movie watching life.
Wow. Right.
Wow. That's huge.
Nice.
What about you, Dave?
I can't say that. You know, time I don't think has been kind to it. I think it was more forgiving the first time I saw it, just because I willed myself not to believe that, you know, this was it. So, you know, this was what I've been waiting for. So I was pretty forgiving, and, you know, the Darth Maul stuff helped me out a lot, even though
that was cool.
That was definitely cool. So I will, but, you know, like that whole 3-tiered action thing didn't, like, nothing. Like, of all those, only the Darth Maul thing. You know, the whole end where, like, there's 3 separate action sequences.
Right.
Four, really, rather. Like, the only one was that Darth Maul one that had anything. Like the other ones, you know, Natalie Portman and this, and her siege of the set to Clash of the Titans. You know, that didn't really do anything for me. And, you know, like, the Gungans throwing their mad balls. Remember those? Remember mad balls? They're throwing their mad balls at the robots, and the robots were just like, whatever, and I didn't feel any kind of investment towards them getting killed or whatever. And then, little puke boy and his assault. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be like totally ripping on it, because I liked them successively more, 2 and 3. 2 could have definitely been a lot tightened up, and I thought 3 was, you know, fairly effective. But I really hold that one. I just don't think he should have ever started the prequel off with a kid, you know, like advance Anakin some years. I don't know. So I just never thought the whole the kid thing, even though I know I did it. But so I don't know. So Mac, you probably like it more than all of us, right?
Yeah. The summer of 99 when it came out, I saw it, episode 1. I saw it 21 times in the theater that summer.
Wow. Yikes.
Wow.
So, and this last weekend, if we're counting that, then that's 22.
That is an amazing piece of trivia. So
that really is.
How much money did you spend?
Are you guys surprised? I'm sorry.
We had I was living near a discount theater, so that the tickets were like $3 each.
Okay. Well, okay, that's a little more. I guess. Because at least you're getting $3 worth of air conditioning. You know?
So you got surprised that it came in fourth after The Vow?
Oh, did it come in fourth, huh?
Yeah, it came in fourth, yeah. After yeah. The Vow and
Safe House
and the Journey to the Rock.
Okay. Yeah.
They all topped Star Wars. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When was Journey 1 out? I never heard of it.
It was Journey to the Center of the Earth, right?
Oh, man, with the Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
That's what it's called, The Center of the Earth, and they just
renamed it. They're just giving it a sequel. They're just calling it a sequel and putting The Rock in it?
Pretty much.
Right.
Pretty much.
And That's pretty weak.
It's loosely based on Jules Verne's Mysterious Island, just as the first one was loosely based on Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Okay.
It seems criminal just to mention Jules Verne. all right. Well, moving on. Stuff we've got working, we've got coming up for the site. So, Daryl, right back to you. Anything of interest?
Not great stuff the last couple of weeks. A good title turned into not such a great movie, and a dead hooker in a trunk.
Awesome.
It was a trailer that I saw on another movie that I did, and the trailer looked pretty cool. Looked like a funny action kind of thing, and it was actiony and it was violent, and the title didn't lie.
Okay.
But beyond that, I'm not
not endorsing it.
not endorsing it, and I did review was apparently the first ever Israeli horror movie.
Wow. Yeah, that looked interesting. I wanted to see that.
Rabies, it's okay. It's okay. It tries to cram too much stuff into 90 minutes. But there's a lot of mayhem. So if you like that,
we do like mayhem.
I think it comes out at the end of February. So it's definitely worth looking at.
Oh, cool. So was there an actual dead hooker in the trunk?
There was.
Ooh, spoiler! Spoiler warning!
Spoiler alert! It doesn't take long to find that out. but there's lots of there's all sorts of stuff. There's a cowboy pimp and a serial killer and a Chinese triad and a whole bunch of things to keep these four people occupied while they try to deal with what to do with the hooker in the trunk.
That's always tough.
Yeah, I know. Happens to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Mac, how about you?
I just finished up a review of Tower Heist with Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Brett Ratner, right?
And Brett Ratner, it is directed, yeah.
Overblown sounds.
I know.
it had its good parts and it had its bad parts. Everyone likes to dump on Brett Ratner, but when he's directing comedy, that's really when he's good. He's a comedy director. And it's just when he tries to do big action blockbusters, that's when, he stumbles. So I'm thinking, well, okay, here he is in his element. And I will say that the humor scenes are really good, especially Eddie Murphy kind of reminds everyone, like, how funny he can be because he rattles off a whole bunch of one-liners really fast. And he's quite good in the movie. But they're instead of just a straightforward just screwball comedy, they decided they wanted it to be an action comedy.
Gotcha.
And we have whole sections of the movie where it's just the heist without any like jokes or slapstick or any humor. And that's really where the movie just falters. And I was checking my watch cans saying, could you go back to being funny again?
And again, this was the guy who just said he saw The Phantom Menace 22 times.
Exactly.
So, there you go.
So Eddie Murphy was pretty funny in it then?
He was. He had some really good scenes.
I thought he was quitting movies. Didn't he say like he was quitting movies? Remember that or maybe not? Maybe
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Is it the same as like Anthony Hopkins saying he was quitting movies? And all these guys,
he's Anthony Hopkins is retired like 30 times now.
That's right. okay, Alice, how about you?
I'm reviewing this Brazilian movie called VIPs, and I also saw it on a trailer to another movie, and it looked interesting. It's about based on a real-life con man from Brazil who takes on these personas, and it's pretty believable in them. And it's an interesting movie, kind of weird and quirky, and the ending just sort of dropped off. But on the whole, it was a decent movie. He plays this actor is a Brazilian actor, 34 years old, and he plays this character from high school all the way into in his 20s, and he's very believable. He's a very good actor. And it takes place in Brazil with this young man who wants to be pilot. And you see images of him with his father. You're not sure if the father is actually there or if the father's just in the boy's head. And it's just he's been all of his life trying to please his parents. And he wants to be anyone other than who he really is. So he takes on these personas. But when he takes them on, he isn't just a con man conning people. He actually believes he's these people to the point where if someone reminds him of who he truly is, it freaks him out. So it's sort of his quest to please his parents and to find out who he really is. And you get to the end, and I won't spoil it, but that's basically what he's doing. And it's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
All right. Nice. For me, let's see, two things. One, something unspeakably terrible. the new animated series Mad. You guys know that there was an animated series about...
On Cartoon Network.
Yeah, Cartoon Network. Unbelievably terrible. unbelievably terrible. I thought Seth MacFarlane was kind of the bottoming out of like the animated gag heavy just crapola, but wow, is this terrible. So stay away from it. But a good movie, a documentary called Elevate, which follows four teenagers from Senegal as they try to get scholarships to American prep schools and college scholarships and maybe make it to the NBA. So
cool.
That's a very cool movie for sure. So,
if you like Koops, then you might, you know, you'll definitely be sympathetic to this, but I think this is something that should appeal to a lot of people. It's just a nifty little story, something you don't think about, but it's very good. I would highly recommend it. Only PG, so fun for the entire family.
There you go.
Okay, Mac, take us away to the next phase.
Sure thing. We're going to look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming releases tab, and from there we're going to scroll down to the link for the cover art gallery for February 21st. Just talk about what's on the list, and you at home can play along. Yeah, so we got Leonardo DiCaprio and J. Edgar. Just kind of mixed reviews on that one.
Well, you got Honey and Honey 2, just in case you want to see
I never knew
together.
They made a Honey 2.
I did either, until just now. This one looks interesting. Martha, Marcy, May, and Marlene. I wanted to see that. I heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, I heard that was good, too.
Yeah.
Not a ton. Yeah.
No. I watched Puss in Boots with the kids, and that was funny. Better than a lot of the Shrek movies, actually.
So you got Unforgiven on Blu-ray.
Yeah, one of the movies that I'm loath to admit that I've never seen.
Really? Awesome. Oh, Dave, you'd like it. It's really good.
Yeah, I probably would just... But, you know, it's just like it's probably it's long and awesome, but these days I don't know if I have the time to watch it anymore. It's pathetic. Yeah. And there's Tower Heist, and movie that's I'm going to review. I haven't seen it yet, but The War of the Arrows.
I'm surprised you didn't say Alien versus Ninja.
I've seen that. I reviewed that from the site, and I have reviewed that from the site. Hey, you guys ever hear this Martin Sheen movie, The Way? Didn't Emilio Estevez direct that, I think? I think that Emilio Estevez directed it. That is semi-interesting. I'd possibly be interested in looking at that.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez did direct that one.
Not nearly enough of Emilio Estevez in the pop culture conscious now.
Yeah, why not?
Come in and take Charlie Sheen's place while he had the chance.
I know.
There you go.
I always thought he was underrated, especially in National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1. I think that holds up remarkably well. Samuel L. Jackson before he blew up, Kathy Ireland, John Lovitz. Good stuff.
Wow.
I don't know if that ever made it to Blu-ray. Well, I think it's going to be a challenge thinking of an inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. So, alright, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
Dallas, Play Johnson.
That's good. How about you, Daryl? You see anything?
A Woman with the Five Elephants.
Yeah,
oh, you took mine.
All right, Mac, you gotta have to come up with something.
Oh man, I'm okay. Something on the fly here. Let's see, boy, I don't know. Amazing Earth. I got nothing.
Yikes! All right, I'll go with a layup. Puss in Boots.
Okay.
Might as well. Okay. This is the section of the Friday Filibuster where we throw ambush topics at each other, just random topics that we all join in and attempt to answer. So I'll go first. Eyeballs popping out of your eye sockets in exclamation. Animated or otherwise.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well.
All right. I'm going with the Mad Marge scene in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, you're
classic.
Smart,
Daryl. Doing it all night.
I'm screwed. I'm my first. That was my backup. So. Did that scare anybody? I don't know.
I think it did me. I was pretty. I mean, I was something like 12 when that movie came out.
I was in third grade. I remember, and it was shown in class. And I remember it was.
It's educational.
That was. That's a Utica, New York public education.
No, me and my friends had a party, and the first time I ever saw it, and we immediately hit the rewind and watched it in slow motion.
Yeah.
20 times, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this is
Okay. Well, the standard bearer for this category is the wolf from the Tex Avery cartoons. Howling at the pretty girl, doing all the crazy slapstick with the eyes popping out.
Yep.
That's probably the one that all these others are based on.
So my primary one is still alive. We'll see if Alice takes it, though.
No, probably not. I'm stuck. I'm just going to say Popeye.
Popeye.
There's a name.
There's a name out there. Well, I guess, I don't know. He had squinty eyes, didn't he?
There you go. And his name is Popeye. There you go.
Popeye, yeah. Hey. So.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I know I cheated.
That's alright. We'll grant that. Alright, the one I was going to go with, thankfully, that no one took, was Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, you know, first of all, his eyes snuck out his knives that one time, right? Didn't he, like, his eyes turn into knives? But when, you know, when he saw the dip coming at his face, that was pretty great. So.
It was that and the helium voice, too.
Right? Oh, helium. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the whole combination. Okay, well, Alice, since you came up with Popeye, we're going to make you go.
I deserve it. So in honor of the late, great Whitney Houston, I'm doing worst singer turned actors and worst actors turned singers.
Oh, this is so either or, do we have to come up with two?
No, just either or. Okay. And if anyone takes mine, I will hunt them down and shoot them.
So does it count if they're a good singer and but a really bad actor?
Oh yeah, anything.
All right.
This is wide open.
Somewhere.
Go ahead, Mac. You got something?
Somewhere in my collection, I have a old cassette tape that was Bruce Willis's album that he made.
That's a good one.
The Return of Bruno, I believe it was called.
Yeah. Did you buy it or was it given to you?
Oh man, it's. trying to think what I did with it. Like maybe I don't have it anymore, but it was really bad. He hardly even sung at all. You could barely hear him singing, and then the backup singers would come in and kind of drown him out. You know.
Well, I'm gonna go with an actor who played a singer in a movie and was terrible in it. How about that?
Okay.
Is that okay? So the actor is one Lorenzo Lamas.
Nice. All right.
The movie is Body Rock. Which needs to be seen by every person. It's a must-see Body Rock. He plays Chili D, a hip swinging MC DJ in the underground hip hop scene in New York circa 1983. He's discovered by some talent scout. He gets his own show, you know, and he's supposedly supposed to sing and dance, and he never sings in this movie, ever. And his dancing is terrible. And so he never ever sings, and his show consists of supposed to be him, but it's obviously not him. It's some guy who's probably, no joke, 8 inches shorter than Lorenzo Lamas, like, just dressed up in a costume, this neon costume. It is unbelievably bad. It needs to be seen. So there's a whole, even he goes through a whole montage to learn how to break dance, and even that never works out for him. So, but at the very least, everyone here needs to see Body Rock. You need to.
Sounds like a winner.
It is. Everyone, go see Body Rock. You will not be disappointed. You will not. Right. Lorenzo Lamas walking down a New York City street in a full length leather trench coat. Looking at the camera and saying sly one-liners. That's what you got.
And you give me crap for going to see Phantom Menace 21 times.
Yeah, well, that's true. I may not have a leg to stand on, but I would say my expectations weren't quite as high as they were in Phantom Menace.
You had to review, or did you watch it willingly?
I chose to review it, but the funny thing is, prior to it showing up on the review list, I'd seen it already.
No, that's scary.
Too bad Eric. If Eric were here, he would vouch for it. We were. There's a place called Farmhouse. We've talked about this sometimes on the podcast. Yeah. In Utica, it was a department store called Farmhouse. No longer exists. Farmhouse, PH Farmhouse. So like, it's a pharmacy combined too. And they were selling a bunch of videos cheap. Body Rock was one of them. We got it for like 99 cents, and the rest is history. All right, I've totally forgot who's next, so keep going.
All right, I'm gonna go with Roy Orbison, who I love as a singer, but who put in probably the worst performance of anybody I've ever seen in a movie from probably about 55 called The Fastest Guitar Alive. he's basically doing his Roy Orbison thing, standing in the corner, and then he'll break into the guitar here every once in a while, and there's some kind of Elvis style plot. It happened after, you know, Elvis became big and everybody who was a pop star got a movie deal, but his was special. It was really special.
Especially bad, right?
Yeah. By the way, you can get Body Rock for like $7 on Amazon. So
man, I could get a burger with that.
No reason.
No reason to buy that.
No reason not to buy it.
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant to say.
All right. Continue.
I have two of them. I'm surprised nobody mentioned this one was an easy one. Madonna, who's a so-so singer and a worse actress. But the one I was thinking of was Billy Bob Thornton. I saw him on TV a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't even know he was trying to sing. And he was in the studio, and it was drunk talk sing. Like he was drinking, talking, and singing all at the same time, and smoking cigarettes. So
like karaoke.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And it was awful. It was the worst thing I ever heard. He's a pretty decent actor, but kind of a weird dude. And I think he did say, you know, something about that's what he was going to focus on, his music career.
Awesome.
Someone should give him better advice.
Hey, Mac, did William Shatner ever put out a musical album?
Oh, boy, did he.
Sure he did, yes. Mm-hmm.
What was it, the Transformed Man, I think? I don't know. There's clips of it all over the place. Right. Yeah. It's the clip on YouTube of him singing Rocket Man. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk sing again.
Exactly.
How about Hasselhoff as a singer?
Oh, he's a big star in Germany. He's a big music star in Germany.
He's huge in Europe, his music is. Yeah.
Speaking of YouTube, I can't remember the name of the song.
Hooked on a Feeling.
Wow, that is a trippy video, Mac. Hooked on a Feeling, David Hasselhoff. Wow, that needs to be viewed as well. Oh, man. Very good. Did we get everybody? Yeah, right, Alice? That was your... Okay, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, all this body rock talk has got me.
All right,
Mac,
excited.
What do you got?
All right, I'm wrapping things up here. All right.
I know we haven't hit Daryl yet, right? Did we hit Daryl?
No.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry, Daryl.
Well, Daryl, cap it off as a welcome.
All right.
Go ahead, Mac.
Right, mine characters who can defy gravity.
I'm gonna go with the easy one, Spider-Man. Doesn't that count as defying gravity? A dude walking up a wall.
Walking on walls? Yeah, I guess it could.
See? Sure.
I mean, he's thumbing his nose at gravity, yes. He's defying it. He's outright defying it.
He is. Purposefully. Giant man spider.
Let's see.
Well, there actually was a short time in the comics when he could, like, fly like Superman, too, because he had Captain Universe's powers temporarily.
Oh,
so,
really?
See, it does count.
See? Hey, there you go.
I'm going to go with another cartoon reference. Here with when the Roadrunner tricks the coyote into running off the cliff.
Oh, good. Good.
Until he realizes that, of course, he can walk through the air.
Yeah, and until he looks down.
Until he looks down, yes.
Okay, well, I'm gonna really try to tie a lot of these things. Daryl, I appreciate you tying that into our discussion of like eyeballs popping out of heads and whatnot.
There you go.
I'm gonna go with David Copperfield in his flying TV special. Do you remember seeing that?
Yes.
Speaking of YouTube, I had stumbled on that. I remember watching that. I remember those David Copperfield specials were like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, when I was little, those things were epic. Yeah.
Man, and according to Wikipedia, the guy made $30 million last year. So I guess he's still doing something. David Copperfield's still going strong. But anyway, I just remember that special. You know, he was flying around the stage and they were putting hoops around him, and it was all kinds of crazy.
Yeah, they locked him up inside the glass box, and then he was flying inside the box.
That's right, like a moth. Then he like flies away from the audience, and I don't know, but I mean, the crackly VHS quality YouTube print doesn't quite do that. You know, give it the does justice to the majesty of the program that I remember it being. But so David Copperfield, I'm sure he defied gravity. There you go. Did he ever marry what's her face?
Claudia Schiffer?
Yeah. Did they ever get married? They were, right?
I thought they were.
Yeah, they got married and divorced.
And divorced. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Good. I got to cover all that. I just want to make get all that straight.
Well, for mine, in my myriad wanderings on the internet, I came across something about the old TV show The Flying Nun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was shocked to learn that the Flying Nun actually flew around, you know, like Superman.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, because it was a sitcom, I thought it was just a wacky comedy title because she wore that thing on her head that looked like wings. Yeah, any nun ever actually worn that? But
she'd get that gust of wind in her hat and take off in the air.
What was the point? Like, what was the point of her flight? Like, was she flying from orphanage to orphanage?
It never made sense why she flew in the first place, but it was fun to watch, I guess. She had.
It was Sally Field, right?
Yeah,
Sally Field.
So I was like, so here you have a sitcom about a nun who can fly, and she has wacky hijinks. And then she teaches the children a valuable lesson. How did this ever make it onto television? Can you imagine pitching this to the network today?
How long was it on television for?
Good question.
Probably a long time. We laugh. Yeah. I bet it was on for a long time. So, like, was she, like, flying with a purpose?
You know, she would fly, and then they would cut to the reaction shots of people, like, looking at her with, like, making silly faces. And that was the joke.
Hey, 3 seasons, apparently. 3 seasons.
Wow. 7 to 70, yeah.
All right. Yeah, boy. All right, as we wrap our heads around that craziness, bring the podcast to a grinding halt. So, Daryl, what do you have to spring us from this?
Right, I'm just going to go with something real simple. Bad birthdays. Funny or not, I don't care.
How about the old man's birthday in the first segment in Creepshow?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the Ted Danson segment?
No, that was the later one. This was the old guy who kept saying, I want my cake! I want my cake!
Where's my cake?
And at the end, he does, in fact, get his cake.
Yeah, he does.
Well, it was a pretty rough birthday for everybody else. Not for the creature being born. I'm talking, of course, an alien.
No? Yeah, okay.
Bursts from the guy's chest. I mean, that was...
That was a bad birthday.
That was a bad one for him.
Everybody else.
I'm trying to think. It must have been like a... Well, there was the episode in Saved by the Bell where Screech thought everybody forgot his birthday, and he was made as the hall monitor, and he terrorized all his friends. But they made it up to him by getting into Principal Belding's office. And, threw a birthday party for him in the principal's office because they were edgy youths.
Slater always comes through in the end.
Always, absolutely.
Wasn't there a birthday in Carrie, the original Carrie with Sissy Spacek? Like her deranged birthday? Mom?
I think there was a birthday in that.
I think there was.
Wouldn't have been fun.
Yeah. No,
it was a pretty deranged birthday, her and her mom and... Yeah, so I'm going to go with Carrie, the deranged birthday scene in Carrie.
All right. And I'm going with the opening scene in Shakes the Clown.
Wow.
If anybody remembers Shakes the Clown.
I remember the title. The title sounds familiar to me.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Julie Brown. Adam Sandler's in it. There's all sorts of people in it. Milton Berle's in it. The movie starts with Shakes, who's a birthday clown, at the party, getting drunk and terrorizing the kids. And then it cuts to the next scene with the kid walking into the bathroom the next morning. And Shakes is passed out on the bathroom floor, and it's pretty clear that his mom, who is Florence Henderson, has slept with Shakes.
Oh, boy.
And so, for that child, that's about the worst birthday I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies.
Never seen it.
I still remember the line from the ad on that. It said it was the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies.
Sure is.
Nice. Well, that is a great way to end this. What you just said, Mac, you should remember that and say that again for you, because that was right on this. So thank you, Alice, Daryl, Mac. Thank you for listening to the Friday Filibuster. You can Twitter/FridayBuster. There's some other stuff like FridayFilibuster@DVDVerdict.com. Feel free to send an email if you want. You'd be the first. So, so that being said, thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a nice... You have an extra day to celebrate President's Day. There you go. 3-day weekend. So, Mac, take us away.
Usa guys bombad.